This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. We are committed to bringing you the day's most important news and current affairs stories from an LGBTI perspective. If it matters to the LGBTI community, we will cover it. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS 0427 JOY 949 or email onair at joy.org.au or follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
It's Wednesday, the 21st of February. Welcome to your nightly news and current affairs show, The Informer. I'm your host, Daniel Roberts. On tonight's show, we speak to Selamat Datang GLBTIQ, an Indonesian community group based in Sydney that was formed initially to march in the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras Parade. We talk to them about what life is like for LGBTI people in Indonesia and the upcoming Mardi Gras Parade. We head to Hay, halfway between Sydney and Melbourne, to find out about their inaugural Hay Mardi Gras, a small idea that has grown into a weekend-long celebration of our inclusive regional community. And we continue to explore relationships in our communities as we talk gay men and monogamy. Why is it something that everyone assumes we don't do?
This is The Informer, Joy's nightly news and current affairs program. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS us on 0427 JOY 949, email onair at joy.org.au or add us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
Been to Bali lately? As you may be aware, Bali is pretty relaxed in terms of LGBT rights compared to other areas of Indonesia. In fact, Indonesia is currently in the spotlight and being monitored very closely by the Human Rights Watch, for example. Their government's distaste for LGBT rights seem to be increasing and is becoming more and more distressing for Indonesian LGBTI community members. Selamat Datang GLBTIQ is an Indonesian community-based group in Sydney that was formed initially to march in the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras Parade. They have marched in the parade for the past few years and are set to do so again in 2018. Sean Dern is the group coordinator for Selamat Datang GLBTIQ. I spoke to him about the importance of being involved in the Mardi Gras Parade and what life is like for LGBTI people in Indonesia. I started out by asking him who Selamat Datang are and what services they provide for the community both locally and internationally.
Selamat Datang GLBTIQ were basically set up to march in the annual Mardi Gras Parade and I guess show a visual presence of support for the LGBTI community in Indonesia. So we have a number of Indonesians that march in the group, as well as Westerners and other international people that support the community in Indonesia and the struggle they're currently facing.
I guess although Australians, they are famous for their regular trips to Bali, many Aussies maybe might not be aware of some of the dangers that LGBTIQ people face in Indonesia. Could you talk us through what people from these communities are dealing with over there?
Yeah, so definitely in certain areas. So obviously Aceh is probably the most strict of areas in Indonesia, but it's not really, I guess, like a tourist area. Bali, you don't really see. So all the incidents that have been, you know, I guess, shared on the media in the last year of incidents in Indonesia regarding LGBTI community, none of these incidents have, you know, happened in Bali, thankfully, which is like a major tourist destination for Australians, but certainly in certain areas of Indonesia, you know, it is quite conservative, you know, and there have been over 300 arrests in the last 12 months of LGBTI people. A lot of this relates to they have an anti-pornography law in Indonesia. So basically they use this law to, you know, raid saunas and raid, you know, certain venues where LGBTI people go to. So it's just, I guess it's just a matter of, you know, people being aware of what areas they're going to. But, you know, when it comes to Bali, Bali is very safe. And, you know, there hasn't been any incidents or any problems as such around the LGBTI community there.
So in Indonesia, is it a flat-out ban? Is it illegal to be gay, for example?
No, not as such. And that's the thing. I think, like, with the law in Indonesia, it's basically, I guess you could put it as that it's legal to exist.
Okay.
As an LGBTI community.
Right.
Or an LGBTI person. But when it comes to your rights, you know, that's where you have to be, you know, I guess, careful. And, like, you can't just walk down the street in some conservative area holding the hand of your boyfriend or, you know, if it's a girl with her girlfriend. Like, you still have to be aware of where you are, because there are very conservative elements and they're vigilante groups and they sort of tend to take things into their own hands. So, you know, it's legal to exist and you know, even the president of Indonesia has mentioned before that he is support of all Indonesians, you know, having the right to live in Indonesia, and there should be no discrimination. But, you know, in reality, there are still a lot of conservative elements within the country as well.
So what sort of support is available for Indonesian migrants, for example, that move to Australia and are of the LGBTI community? Does a group like Selamat Datang, like, do they help them assimilate? Are there community groups out there to help these people sort of realise that it's okay who they are and they can be more comfortable here?
There isn't any organisations as such, but I guess it's just your mainstream organisation. So even like you know, organisations like ACON here in Sydney, they run workshops for Asian people that identify as LGBTI. So it's definitely like your mainstream organisations that do run those things. With Selamat Datang, our focus, you know, so, you know, we march in the parade and Indonesians who come to Australia or are living here are welcome to, you know, they march with the group, and everyone marches as one, even if they're from different areas of Indonesia. But a lot of our, I guess, fundraising focus goes towards organisations in Indonesia for the LGBTI community and those that help support HIV/AIDS. But, you know, definitely, like, our group is, I guess you could call it, like, a social networking place that, you know, they can meet like-minded others as well.
Well, Mardi Gras is coming up, and as you mentioned, the group was formed initially to march in Mardi Gras. Are you excited for the parade that's coming up?
Yeah, it's only, I think it's, what is it, 10 days to go, so everything's pretty much organised. We've actually got 74 marches this year. So it's, you know, it's a big group. Last year we had 44, so we've almost double our number this year. So it's going to be a massive parade. They've pretty much been doing choreography rehearsals all throughout the month of February. So you'll see, I think there's about 60 strong of the group in Indonesian style sarongs and hats doing choreography up Oxford and Flinders. So it's going to be a massive parade for the group.
How important is the exposure that Selamat Datang receives from being in Mardi Gras?
I feel it's very important because, you know, like, especially in Indonesia, there's nothing, you know, there's no Mardi Gras parade, there's nothing like that. So to see an Indonesian identifying group marching shows the community there that, you know, yes, you know, you can be yourself. You can be proud to be yourself. And these people are marching in pride with you. So I think it's very important because, you know, this community in Indonesia, they're facing a big struggle at the moment, and any support that they can get, whether it's internally or internationally, I think is going to help them in the long run because they need that support.
That was Sean Dern, the group coordinator for Selamat Datang GLBTIQ.
There is still more to come on Joy's The Informer, the news program from an LGBTI perspective.
The regional town of Hay are throwing a rural Mardi Gras festival next weekend, offering a countrified alternative for those not able to make the massive Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras. Starting off small, it has grown into a regional event that will educate and celebrate diversity, promoting inclusion, in all its colourful glory.
Well, we had one of our wonderful trolls saying, well, now you've got equality. And I answered back was, well, I've always had equality. I'm lucky. I've always had equality. I'm a straight woman married with a child, and everybody should have equality. Like, for God's sake. What, we can't be straight and have a Mardi Gras? Hello? It's just about inclusion.
Just because they're having a 40th anniversary, why should Sydney Mardi Gras have all the fun? Hay has a population of about 2,500 people. It's halfway between Sydney, Melbourne and Adelaide and sits along the banks of the mighty Murrumbidgee River. And this year, a group of straight women have come together to organise Hay's first Rainbow on the Plains Festival. It's Hay's very own Mardi Gras. Kerry Aldred from the committee spoke to us and let us know that it all began when organiser Krista Shade had a simple idea.
She was keen to do a Mardi Gras, or actually go to Mardi Gras, but has never had the opportunity to. And this year was out again for her, so she thought, well, why don't we do something in Hay and bring in some tourism, because Hay basically survives on tourism, and raise some money at the same time. So she sent a text message out as a, not really a dare as such, but an expression of interest, who's game, to join up.
The event went from being a night at the local club where everyone's dressed up, streaming the parade with some cocktails and raising money for Hay Can Assist and ACON, to something much bigger.
So we've gone from let's go to the club. We were hoping to have maybe 80 people turn up to the club. We're now a three-day event. ACON decided they didn't want our money. They loved the whole idea and they came on as community partners. Our local community, after we've just popped it up on Facebook after our first meeting up at the Services Club, when they agreed that, yes, we could do this, we put it on Facebook, and within 48 hours we had people in town saying, well, you're having a parade, aren't you? Because I'd like to put a float in.
Once ACON came on board, the festival got bigger and bigger.
Because once you started with floats, you then had to get sponsors to help cover the costs of everything. And we have a recovery brunch on the Sunday. We've seen a lot of the community leave as they reach age for various reasons. A lot have always felt that they weren't comfortable being there. Times have changed dramatically. So a number have left, vowed never to come back again because of how they felt when they left. But they're actually coming back for our Mardi Gras, and so many ex-locals have reached out to us and said, how fantastic, thank you for doing this, which we never factored that in when we started this. So that's been quite humbling, and we've had times where we've sort of sat around and gone, oh my God, we are touching people in a way where we just hadn't contemplated, hadn't given any thought to it. And it's very, very overwhelming.
While the community response has been fantastic, that hasn't stopped a few naysayers from having a problem.
Hay's always been quite accepting. We were expecting a few people with negative comments. We've had two people from out of town do a bit of trolling on Facebook and making a few hate comments, which we, as a committee of three, we're now actually a committee of five, but the three main organisers, myself, Kerry and Krista, we've nipped that in the bud quite well. Only one person locally actually put something up on Facebook, you know, great keyboard warrior. Another local lady in town nipped that in the bud straight away. A little bit of talk in town, like the older blokes going, oh my God, this and that. But it seems that just over the last 2 months, the more information that they've actually received, they're not perceiving it as just for gays, lesbians, etc. It's not about just for gays and lesbians. It's about for everybody, every human in our community to come together, learn more, be more accepting. You know, that's what it's all about. It's just about acceptance, inclusion of diversity. And we are educating, which has been fantastic.
With a street party, a live stream of SBS and Joy's coverage of the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras Parade, and a recovery brunch and picnic at Sandy Point Beach, it's going to be a whole lot of rainbow fun in Hay for the first week of March.
We had a lot of people say, oh, why are you doing it the same weekend? And it's like, can't you change it because we'd like to be there? And it's like, well, we started off, we were just going to watch SBS streamed at the club. Next year, we've already got people saying that they're going to be here next year. So we were already having to sort of think, oh, my goodness, we've got a plan 2019 and we haven't even got 2018 off the ground. 2019, it won't be the same weekend because we're all going next year.
There's a real thirst to make the event great for regional equality, with bands donating their time and major sponsors stepping up, coming on board and already talking about making next year's Hay Mardi Gras even bigger before the first one's even gotten off the ground.
The amount of people that have contacted us where we're just so overwhelmed, it becomes quite emotional and we're sitting there in tears.
There's a real passion to make our regional spaces more inclusive for all.
We're so isolated here in Hay. Like, we're in the middle of everywhere. But our next towns, from being in the middle of everywhere, is quite a drive. And there's so many other small, isolated communities where there's kids growing up with, you know, hormones are going through, emotions, there's confusion, there's the thought of not being accepted, ostracised, etc. And just to let, or adults, still haven't quite come to terms with exactly where they sit. It's just nice for them to realise that they don't have to move away from rural Australia to go to the city to be accepted or to blend in. Well, we know that we are reaching out and hopefully we're able to reach out to more to allow them to feel comfortable with who they are. It's very important that you can be who you are, where you are. Your location shouldn't play a part.
Head to Facebook to find all the details for Hay's first Mardi Gras. Simply search Hay Mardi Gras and you can find all the information that you need.
That was Dean Arcuri with Kerry Aldred from Hay Mardi Gras.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program and your link to the stories that matter.
Can two gay men really have a monogamous relationship? Last week for our Valentine's Day special, we put out a call asking for people who were part of relationships that were outside the norm of our LGBTIQ community to talk with us about what this meant to them and how they navigate it. To no one's surprise, we received a lot of responses from gay men who were in open relationships. And statistically, the reality is, fellas, that you guys are the norm, not the exception to the rule. So we then put out a call to speak to gay men in monogamous relationships to find out what it is like on the other side of the gay relationship fence.
So I was talking to my friend today about a gay couple that we both know, and it turns out that one of them cheated on the other one. And then she says, well, gays and monogamy just don't work out.
60 years ago was when we decided that men had to be monogamous too. Men were not monogamous. For all of recorded human history, men had concubines and whores.
Do you think that monogamy in the gay community is dead?
He was basically trying to convince me that gay men cannot be in monogamous relationships, that men who are interested in other men cannot be committed to just one person at a time. And he backed the claim with, oh, we're all guys, there's testosterone, you know, men are dogs, and when you have men licking men, they don't just want one, they're going to want to cheat or they're going to whatever. And it just saddened me as a man, as a gay man, as a part of the community to hear this.
The other day I got a message on Instagram that said, you two are just wasting your time and are foolish. I'm sorry to be blunt. You will want to step outside of marriage because you will be sexually unhappy. Give open relationships a try and chance and do not shoot them down.
Gay men have often been seen as promiscuous, and the idea of a long-term relationship might seem strange to some, but just how common are monogamous relationships in the gay community? We spoke to Robbie, a gay man who's been in a monogamous relationship for almost 9 years, to find out what it's like. Robbie's not only in a monogamous relationship, but a cross-cultural one, which comes with its own set of challenges. But in the gay community, how does a monogamous relationship even start?
We met off, I think it was gay.com or one of those dating sites, before the apps were around. And he was actually, funnily enough, supposed to be me proving to my housemate and best friend that I could do one-night stands. So I did a really good job, and 9 years later, we're still together.
But is monogamy just for those who are inherently monogamous?
I have been in an open relationship in the past, but the last couple of relationships sort of fell into, and it was all of a sudden I was like, oh, I'm in a relationship. So, yeah, that seems to be a bit of a pattern.
Although monogamy might not be the norm amongst gay men, it's certainly not uncommon.
Quite a few of my friends are in monogamous relationships, but there's also quite a few that are not. Myself, I'm generally pretty open-minded about however someone's relationship works, as long as it works for them, that's all that matters. So I think I sort of get the same sort of respect back from most people, from most people in my life anyway.
Being in a gay monogamous relationship is one thing, but what happens when you add a clash of cultures to the mix?
My background is actually Pacific Islander and Australian, and Shantan is actually Malaysian via Singapore and then Australia for the last 20 years. So between him and I, we've got lots of different cultures that we sort of jump between. And him coming into my life brought a whole pile of cultural events and significant items that I need to be aware of from his Chinese background. And myself, I bring some of the traditions from the Pacific Islands, as well as that from my stepdad, who's actually Burmese. So it's a really interesting mix for both of us.
Having a long-term partner also tends to lead to meeting each other's families, with the hope that both sides will accept and support the relationship.
So for me, I think I was out with my family at a very young age, so they were very accepting of Shantan quite quickly, where he had only come out a couple of years prior to me meeting him, and his parents had met a previous partner and were still coming to terms with it. And so a couple of years in, I had sort of said, you know, you've met all my family, you know, I'd really, you know, would like to be part of yours in some shape or form. And he basically went, well, that's what I need to do. And sort of I met his family in Singapore, and they actually had come out to here a couple of years later and stayed with us for a period of time. And I think navigating the different cultural aspects of what they expect and versus what I was expecting has been interesting. There's things such as my mother-in-law, normally in the culture they give their daughter-in-laws a piece of jewellery. And so my mother-in-law bought me a watch. And I really didn't understand the significance till after when Shantan told me, well, actually, that's your daughter-in-law watch, as we jokingly refer to it as. So that's sort of one of those things that I realised that I was, you know, I'm part of the family. Some of the other aspects, I think, is when my in-laws came and stayed, very much it's about them running the house as the parents. I was kind of living there, and even though it was my house, and a lot of people found that quite weird, but I sort of thought, well, they're my elders, I should respect them, they're Shantan's parents. So it's sort of navigating and just treading lightly, I guess, in some aspects, and just letting it happen as it happens.
Relationships are also about discovery and learning throughout the journey.
One of the things that probably I learnt since being with Shantan was probably a lot more about the misconceptions about race and then the monogamous relationship between, especially gay men. So that was probably the biggest, this has been a really learning journey for me from what I knew at the beginning to where I am now. So that's probably been the big thing for me as well.
Although many gay men are in monogamous relationships, the majority still find the concept strange. With the many assumptions out there, why do gay men choose monogamy?
With monogamous relationships, I think quite often it's about the, you know, you've been forced to be monogamous by one of them. One of the partners is forcing the other to be monogamous. For me, that's one that I come across. I said, which one of you wanted to be monogamous? And I was like, well, actually, we're both quite happy. The discussion of an open relationship hasn't really ever come up. It may in the future, who knows? But it's not something that we've sat there and gone, we're going to be monogamous. It's just how it is. And also, I think with the different cultural aspects, it's things about, so Shantan being an Asian man and myself, you know, looking like a white man, quite often there's a lot of assumptions about being the old white man with a young Asian guy. We kind of flip that on the opposite side. Shantan's older than me, you know, and it's a very different dynamic in the relationship. But I think that catches people off surprise when they see that. And in the mix of that, it's also that I can sort of let some of his cultural traditions sort of become part of my life so easily, and same with him. Tonight we're actually heading off to a Chinese New Year dinner. that's something I didn't celebrate till he was part of my life. And Chinese New Year has become a significant sort of holiday for me now as well. And that's sort of something that for some people, they're kind of like, oh, it's just Chinese New Year. Well, actually, it's got quite a lot of cultural importance to him, and that becomes important to me.
Thanks to Robbie for sharing the story of his relationship with us tonight.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
That's it for another episode of The Informer, bringing you news and current affairs for Australia's LGBTI communities. A podcast of tonight's Informer will be available to download soon at joy.org.au or on your preferred podcast platform. Don't forget to follow us on social media at The Informer on Joy 94.9 on Facebook and at The Informer Joy on Twitter. If you have a story or tip you would like to share with us, please do get in touch at theinformer@joy.org.au. You've been listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9. I'm Daniel Roberts.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.